Support for the Boner Planet Podcast is presented by
Dead Downwind, Tinks, Shadowhunter Blinds, Burris Optics, Dead Ringer, The Grind, Bomar Archery, Element Outdoors, Reveal Cellular Camera, HHA and HHA USA, Black Eagle Arrows,
Cobra Archery,
Camp Chef,
Novix Outdoors,
and caffeine support provided by Deer Camp Coffee.
Hey guys, welcome to the Bowhunter Planet Podcast. Tonight, myself, Dave Thomas, along with Jamie No Boom, here with Steve and Jerry from Forever Wild Outdoors Adrenaline Adventures. How you guys doing?
Great, man. Great. How are you?
Doing well. Thank you so much for coming on tonight. And we want to know about your show. So tell us, number one, how the show got started, and number two, like what's, you know, who's all in it, how many people are doing it, all that good stuff.
Oh, geez. The show started in 1996. I was involved in a car accident where my back was fractured in two places. And essentially what happened, I was basically laid up for about a year. I've got an art background. My father rigged up a jig for me, and I basically started doing wildlife art in wood burning. Made a bunch of it. A lot of people liked it and started doing festivals and shows and things like that. Next thing I know, I was selling it. So I needed to come up with a name for my business and did Forever Wild Outdoor Art. And, you know, it just kind of morphed, and I've been a turkey hunter forever and a day. Buddies of mine kind of sat there and, hey man, you can call as good as these guys on stage. Let's get into it. So I got into it, and they created a new subcategory of loser for me because I was never used to stage calling. You know, I could call and kill turkeys. I've been calling and killing turkeys for 40 years almost.
Yeah.
And, you know, I ended up working for Tilburg Game Calls, which was Top Calls Game Calls, Tilburg Outdoor Products, and started doing some design with them in sales and marketing, and started learning from the best callers in the country, you know, Eddie Salter, the turkey man, took me on a turkey hunt when I was in the Marine Corps down in Bruton, Alabama. Learned a lot from him, and I just started calling, and I set my sight on becoming a state champion. And I ended up being, what is it, five or six time?
No, it was five.
Five time. Wow. Five-time state champion.
He could have won more. He just never, you know, once he got to five, he kind of stopped and focused on the show. But he could have won a lot more, truth be known. But, you know.
I competed in a lot of majors, you know, the U.S. Open, the Worlds, the Grand Nationals.
Wow.
That's, you know, crazy. And I've placed in just about all of them, the Battle of the Ohio, competed against the best callers in the world. And at one point was considered up there with them. And Jerry and I, at that point, and I don't want to jump too far ahead, but at that point we started focusing on the show. But once I started doing the working with Top Calls, I decided that I want to make calls on my own, and kind of did Forever Wild Outdoor Art, Forever Wild Outdoor Game Calls, and started making a whole bunch of stuff, and worked for a small video production company to help me learn about the video aspect of it. But that's when the video genre was just really starting to hit its peak in the mid 90s, you know, and I wanted to find a way to help promote the sales of my calls in the stores that were carrying it. So I would go out and use the video equipment. They taught me how to do the old analog editing where you literally had to cut and paste and tape this. You know, oh gosh. Oh, you know, and I look at our editor now, and he's just like, oh yeah, I can get that done. I'm like, you suck so bad. You know that, right? But, you know, did all of that. And then I started realizing how much fun I had. And then one day I get a phone call because I was working with the National Wild Turkey Federation. Ray I was the head of Northeast, or the field producers. And they asked me to do field production for the veterans because I'm a Marine Corps veteran. And, I said, absolutely. And started doing a lot of video work. We ended up doing a hunt with, World War II veteran that ended up, getting the Bronze Star, the year we met him.
Yeah.
And I think he was, what, 84?
Yeah.
He was like 84 years old when we met him. His name is Doc. And I can't remember his last name. Yeah, it slips me right now. But Doc was a great guy. He was at Iwo Jima.
Wow.
And he was a Navy corpsman that he got wounded multiple times in combat by running up the hill and actually pulling Marines down. Wow. And getting fragged and getting shot and never asked for anything, and all of his paperwork got lost. But anyway, I'm with some of these hunts. I get a call from an outfitter that said, hey, can you do me a favor? He goes, I got some guys from Realtree Outdoors coming up and they need a cameraman. And you know, we know you do work with the National Wild Turkey Federation on the Northeast side of things. And you do a lot of B-roll stuff for other television shows, which is kind of what I was doing. And I said, yeah, sure. And it turned out being this guy to my right over here.
Ironically, Steve didn't film me on that hunt. It was another guy to film me, but we kind of met on that hunt, and I was with Realtree at the time, and I pro staff for them, and they wanted me to kind of get into the turkey side of things. So I remember that Steve was such a great turkey caller, and I actually just called him up one day and said, hey, Realtree wants me to start doing the competition calling. I know you're a great caller. Can I come over to your house and can we run through some calls? And Steve was like, sure. He's like, come on over. We'll run some calls and we'll teach you how to be a better caller. And from there, it just kind of blossomed into a fantastic friendship. And now we're business partners. And
We've been best friends for 22 years.
Yeah. It's been a while now. Yeah.
And it is true, by the way, I was one of the best callers. So,
well, here we go.
Yeah. My call sounds like a dead rat.
No.
Well, based on the amount of turkeys I called in this year, I would say I'm about par with you right now. Oh my God, I'm sorry, guys. If I could call any better, we'd have a lot more dead birds.
So with the professional calling, are you allowed to use a mouth call, or you got to do it with your own mouth?
No, you use a mouth call. Mouth call or a friction call. Like the old Masters Invitational, you had to do half your calls with an air-blown call, which could be a wing bone, it could be a tube yelper or a diaphragm call, and your other half had to be done with friction, which could have been a pot call, box call, whatever. Yeah. Huh. But, you know, so you had to be proficient in just about everything over a compulsory.
Although they got natural voice calls. Call, you know, competition too. So, I mean, Steve can gobble with the best of them, natural voice. So
hey, don't knock my owl hooting. Yeah. I've called owls all over the country.
Yeah,
that's pretty cool though.
Oh, it's fun. You know, I started bow hunting turkeys a long time ago. I mean, between Jerry and I, how many states have we hunted? I mean, I've got 21 now.
You've been a lot of different states across the country, and I haven't killed one with a bow yet though. That's still one of my
last year was my 14th with a bow.
Wow.
Yeah, don't be impressed. I've missed about 250.
Oh, it's 14. It's really.
Yeah. I mean, you got an open too. I got one.
One with a bow, one with a crossbow, and then I took the kid and just bought him a 410 last weekend. I'm like, you know what? They're not responding, so we just got to get creative.
It would be fun if you guys joined us on a turkey hunt somewhere for your podcast. Awesome. We'd love to have you guys.
What state you guys in?
We're in New York. We're upstate New York.
Okay. We're in Michigan. All right. We can make it work.
Actually, one of our business partners, our business partner is from Michigan and his family lives there and they go back and forth all the time.
Yeah. Oh, man. Yeah, that's great. Yeah, we definitely got to set that up. It'd be fun. Turkey hunting's become a staple for us. It's something that we didn't used to do a lot of it, to be honest, until, I mean, what is it? I don't know, but when you started kind of about 5 years ago.
5 years ago.
Yeah, we started getting into it. Nobum went first and then he...
I'm telling you, I'm 15 minutes, I had two just coming at me. I'm like, like, what? This is easy. This is stupid. What's going on? Until you see the big bird huffed up coming at you, it changes everything.
That's what we tell people. Now, what do I always say every turkey season about turkeys?
That you hate them?
I hate turkeys.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Turkey hunting is so stupid. After you're hunting for 40 days or 45 days straight in our case, and it's just like, man, I hate turkeys.
We do a lot of youth hunts too. We like taking the kids out and getting them involved in the outdoors, and we've done a lot of youth hunts over the years. We've killed a ton of birds for kids. Yeah, it's been a really great experience.
Do the kids use a shotgun, or how does it work with the kids generally?
Shotgun
generally, yeah.
20 gauge, 410.
20 gauge or 12s.
We had some girls with 12 inch, 3.5
Wow. 12 inch, 3.5 inch.
Dang.
Yeah.
Well, don't forget, she shot a bear with a 40 caliber handgun up in Maine.
Wow.
She was going up. Her father's an outfitter. He's still an outfitter up in Maine. He's one of our sponsors for a few years, Katahdin Shadow Outfitters. And her name is Aurora Morin. Great girl. She's in the Marine Corps right now. Just got married. And they were out checking baits. And she walked up and with her dad, and he goes, "Oh, there's a bear." So she pulls out a 40 cal, snuck up on it, and killed it.
Wow. Holy cow.
There's Archer.
So when you guys are filming, so I'm assuming all your stuff you film last year will air this year. Is that how it works?
Yes.
And how many episodes will there be? And you guys are on Pursuit Channel, correct?
This year, we're probably not going to be on Pursuit Channel. We are on Wild TV. Pursuit Channel this year doesn't look good simply because COVID knocked a lot of our sponsors right out of the dirt. You know, and they're just, you know, we have to look out for our business and look out for the best for our sponsors. We don't want to sit there and add a financial hardship to our sponsors. Yeah. We want to be able to work with our partners and sponsors. Yeah. Yeah. And make sure that they're successful, and we want to do the best job for them. So if we spread ourselves too thin, we don't have a business.
We ran 2 years on a Sportsman's Channel. We ran another 4 years on Pursuit, and now we're in our second year with Wild TV.
Five years on Pursuit.
And, you know, we're looking at 26 weeks starting in the end of June here through the end of the year, and we're excited about it. But, yeah, I mean, actually, COVID was kind of almost a weird blessing because it gave us a chance to kind of get additional footage
build up
because we ran some reruns of some episodes we'd already run on other channels on Wild TV last year, so kind of we're kind of stocked up right now with footage. We got a ton of stuff.
It also helped when we were traveling that there was absolutely no one on the road. No one.
So we
did a swoop to Kansas. We went to 18 states that trip.
Wow.
Yeah, we were motoring, but it was right when COVID happened. It was right first part of April, and there was absolutely nobody around. There was nobody in the hotels. There was nobody on the road. Wow. And here we are driving to Kansas to do this real hunt. And then we drove from there to see some friends of ours in North Carolina for Easterns.
Hunt there.
And it was kind of a wild trip, but we love the turkey hunt.
Oh, it was smooth as silk. We were like, we could do 85, 90 miles an hour. And there's no one on the road.
No cops pulling you over either.
No, I miss that. Everybody's back on the roads now.
They want nothing to do with it. They were, at that time, remember that, the cops were like nowhere to be seen.
They didn't want to pull anybody over.
No, it was clean shot. In fact, there was a cop who lived close to me here at home, and he said that his chief, they told them not to pull anybody over unless it's don't do traffic stops unless it's like they can't ignore it type thing. Yeah. Like crazy.
So myself being in law enforcement right now, let me tell you a little trick. Somebody walks up to your vehicle, asks you, just start going. It ends that conversation pretty quickly.
That's so funny because I thought the same thing though. I was like, man, if I get pulled over during COVID, I was going
to cough on your registration.
And ID. You want this license?
Just make sure you get a little water next to you. Start just, like spritzing your face with it. Look real sweaty and like, oh man, I'm just not feeling great. Like, all right, have a good night. Just drive safe, okay?
So you guys shooting Expedition bows then?
Yeah, right now I've got the MX-16 and absolutely love it.
I got the MX-15.
And we both got the X-33s coming.
Yeah.
Which we're waiting on.
Yeah, we're still waiting on them for our test lab show. We've been busting Chris's balls for a while now because you know, he was on our podcast back, what was it, No Boom? Like before they launched.
Yeah.
I think it was October.
The other guy's trying to make sure he doesn't give away secrets and stuff.
Yeah, it was like September, October. And I was like, these people are waiting for this bow. It better be in our hands right away. He's like, it's gonna be there. First one's coming to you guys. Here we are. It's middle of May. Nothing. I'm like busting his balls all the time in text. He didn't reply to me no more. Like, where are these bows? ?
I'll tell you what. It's I've shot all the bows. I mean, I was a factory shooter for a while for Oneida Eagle. You guys remember the Oneida Eagle bows?
Oh, I remember.
Those are worth some money right now if you got any left.
Were you doing that in New York?
I've got two of them. I've got two of the Screaming Eagles that I used to shoot.
Was that in New York?
Wait. What's that?
Were you in New York doing that?
Yes.
Okay, because we dealt with them when they were in Michigan when they sold to Claude Pollington. Mm-hmm. So then he sold it to JP, whatever, from Bass Pro now. But
yep.
Yeah, those are cool bows.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
We've shot them all over the years. And we were at ATA 2 years ago. Mm-hmm. And we met with Chris. And we fired the Mako series bows.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And they were super sweet, great back wall. Everything about them was fantastic. You know, just absolutely loved it. And it was one of those bows that, like, right when you shot it, you know, you get that torque in your hand. Didn't have it there.
Yeah.
You know, and I had a bare Anarchy at the time, and I had tons of confidence in that, and I got this Expedition, and I was like, yeah, that's it for me.
Yeah.
Yep. Yep. And we've got Victory Archery as one of our sponsors as well. And we've been really, really pleased super blessed with that. Yeah, it's been great.
And then dealing up with Arcus and shooting Ramcat. I mean, we were with Ramcat 2014, 2015, which I think was season 2 and 3. And we had great success with them. We had a couple mishaps, but we knew what happened there. We talked with the company, you know, they had kind of a double heat treat. And there were some of the heads snapped at the ferrule and you know, on initial contact with the bow, and that was with the Hydro Shock series. And, mm-hmm. you know, I never had a problem with it because I killed, what, 3 deer that year. And then I killed that big black bear up in Canada with it, and it was dead in 3 seconds on film.
Yeah, that's what we're all using for our bear. That's the nice thing about Canada next year is none of us have been up there for 3 years.
Oh, God, those bears are going to be giant and stupid.
150% success rate.
So we're already trying to get our names in the hat so we can get a spot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Next August is going to be crazy.
We used Ramcat 1 year. They talked us into doing testing. It was a long time ago, but it must have been 2015, 2016. But, oh, no, it was during the bear hunt, that time frame. But we shot everybody on the team. We have like a 20-man team was using Ramcats, and no one had an issue. And we used the fixed blade, and it was unbelievable. Yeah. The power and the hits and the bear. We killed probably like 12 bear with them overall, like with everybody in 2 years, and then probably numerous deer. So we've kind of moved on from the testing the Ramcat because we know it works. And one of our things that we do at BHP is test products. And to us, the Ramcat is like literally a no-brainer. So we know it works. We always say good things about it. It's got amazing penetration. It's one of the best heads definitely in the market today, especially the fixed blade one. It is literally unbelievable head. But you know, then there's other ones too, right? So there's tons of different brands and a lot of them very successful. I've had very few that are, I wouldn't say worked good or had very few issues, but the problem is the issues I did have, it's like, is it me, the way I shot, or is it the head, right? Now the head didn't break, which indicates maybe I just hit it in the wrong spot in the top of the shoulder blade. And maybe that's why I didn't get what I was hoping to get out of that hunt. But
I actually really like the Diamondback hybrid head that I shot that last year out in Kansas and Ohio. And of course, that's a fixed position blade and an expandable all in one. And I had great success with that Diamondback hybrid
head. And it took me a long time to get you switched to try those because Jerry's the fixed head guy.
Yeah, that happens.
You know, just loves fixed head broadheads. And I'm more of the mechanical or the hybrid. Mm-hmm. guy, you know, and I've shot all kinds of different and I love the Hydro Shock, which is the single bevel and the double bevel, but when they came over now and have the Savage and the Cage Ripper and
I'm interested in that one a lot. I want to see what that baby can do.
That thing's brutal.
Yeah, it looks pretty brutal.
It's brutal. I shot that buck in Ohio with it, and you know, it's like with a crossbow, it went through and I thought I missed because it jumped the buck. It was a big buck and he jumped straight up in the air like a mule deer and then just kind of walked off. Like he trotted a little bit and he stopped and he walked. And I'm like, what the hell just happened? And I'm cussing at myself because, you know, I've got my fourth arrow tree arm. I'm trying to get everything all set up. And he came in where he wasn't supposed to come in. Came in like he crawled under a bush right in front of the stand. And out of a bowl, and I'm like, come on now. And I don't know, after about an hour, I got out of the stand and I went down and checked the arrow. There was nothing on it, but I smelled it. And I'm like, that smells like a deer. So I'm like, I'm going to walk over to the gully where I last saw him standing for 5 minutes before he walked away, or 3 minutes, walked over there, and I could see blood for 95 yards. It was like a foot wide. And it just, you know, you get a crossbow that's shooting, you know,
425 feet a second. Yeah.
At that, you know, that close, that never left a mark on it.
It's crazy. That
was, it was nuts. But man, the blood that came out of that thing was brutal.
Yeah. Which just head brutal. Was that?
That was the Cage Ripper.
Oh, Cage Ripper. Got it.
Yeah. That was the Cage Ripper.
I'm on their site right now, poking around.
I love
making sure I know which one we're talking. Oh, yeah, that Cage Ripper. Yeah, that was the one I was thinking.
We got at least a pack of those somewhere.
We have a lot of those, actually. They just sent a ton of stuff, actually. So they
try those Savage, the Savage too, the three blade.
Yeah, I think we've used those.
No, I don't. I haven't. You have. I haven't actually shined with the Savage yet. That's definitely on my hit list. They also sent me a couple of the Hydro Shock X crossbow value packs. So yeah, like the ready to go. So I'm excited about that. Actually, I need to do some work on that. I need to research a couple things on. I got to make sure they'll work on the crossbows. I'm thinking. I was going to try to throw them on an Excalibur. I got to try to throw them on a 10 point. There's some things I wanted to play with to test that baby, but I think it'll work. I don't know. I think that, you know, sometimes they have their own, you know, their knocks. That's the thing you got to look at generally.
Well, one thing that we found, because Center Point Archery is our crossbow sponsor. And, we found this year trying to use the Hydro Shock X, we had 20 inch bolts. Doesn't work on a 20 inch bolt because it starts to hit, you know, because those blades
they're back towards the rail a little bit, so we had to bump it up to a 22 inch bolt just to make sure we had enough clearance between the head itself and the rail on the crossbow.
Yeah, we contacted Victory Archery and they sent us 22 inch bolts, which is always nice.
Yeah,
which crossbows are you guys using from Center Point?
Oh gosh,
I love the CP400. I've been shooting that quite a bit lately. Yep. That's kind of my crossbow of choice right now. But
yeah, that Steppo is vicious. I just got I've got the CP400, the Pulse 425, the F415, the 390.
Wrath looks badass.
Yeah,
the Wrath 430. Yeah, that's a nasty little guy right there.
And actually, CenterPoint's kind of a local company. I mean, they're right in Bloomfield, New York, so they're really not that far from our home.
They're 35 minutes from me.
Yep.
So you guys are I know they're partnered with Raven. So does that mean you get to shoot some Raven too?
Yeah, they gave us Ravens 2 years ago.
Dang.
Yeah, they actually purchased.
They bought Raven.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's cool.
I got the R26. You got the R29.
Yeah.
You can see some of that tech in this bow. That's why I was bringing it up.
Oh, yeah.
The CP.
Yeah.
It's got like an R26 front end.
Yeah, that's sweet.
That thing's stupid fast.
We did a lot of work with Center Point actually over the past few years, right before the Raven transaction. But we did a lot of work on the Arrowbow and the Crossman Arrowbow, which I think they were labeling the Center Point at one point. Or for those who don't know, Crossman owns Center Point and Raven. That Arrowbow is bad bones and like one of the coolest products I have ever seen in this industry. And yet it gets so much crap and it ticks me off so much because I'm like, dude, it's shooting an arrow. I understand there's some air in there, but like, dude, what does it matter what I use to kill an animal if I bought a tag? Like, I don't get it. Like, it is like the coolest thing, safest thing. Like, I, you know, like people talk about, and like, don't get me wrong, these crossbow companies are doing a great job. They're making very safe products, but the Arrowbow eliminates a string and cable altogether.
100%.
Therefore, if I have a child or somebody that maybe I don't want have any fingers be in any way, shape, or form into a safety concern, I can use an Arrowbow. I mean, it is literally one of the smartest things ever made, and yet states aren't making them legal. I mean, they're having tons of issues, which in return makes a company like Crossman say, let's back off, whatever. They don't want it. They don't want it. But the thing is you're basically telling them to set aside one of the best inventions to this industry, in my opinion. I mean, literally one of the coolest things ever made in this sport. So it's sad, really, to be honest.
What do you think of the new Raven 500?
I've been in contact with Raven, and they said that we would have one for Test Lab come September. And I don't know what to think of it yet, because I'm hearing a lot of mixed things on it, because I asked this question to everybody in the industry, other brands and everything. I'll say, what do you guys think of that? You know, 500 come up from Raven. And I think a lot of companies don't think it's possible, and they think that it'll be dangerous. So I'm curious to see what actually comes of this thing. Knowing Raven, I know it's not going to be dangerous. They're obviously not going to do it if it's going to be a problem. Right.
So they've got huge tech.
That's what I'm saying. These guys aren't messing around, you know, and that thing, that design, that look, it's so small. I mean,
that thing is so nasty looking. But here's my thing is, at what point does the technology surpass the ability for an arrow to stand up to that torsion that is, well, and the energy being?
Because that's my thing. Victory. I was shooting a 10 point that was 470 last year, and I couldn't find a target to stop it.
No, you
it
was know? Going right through.
If I wasn't getting bolts for free, I would have spent $500 in bolts. So every time I shot, tried to, you know, take a practice shot, rip fletchings off, no matter which target I used.
Yeah, use a Ford as a backstop.
Yeah, right.
We were having problems with the bolts because they were going through these layered targets fast that they would kind of leave a sticky film on the fletching.
It burned it on. Yeah, it burns it on, and it can't come out.
So like CenterPoint, Scott, have you seen the CenterPoint's new Pulse 425?
Pulse 425. Let me look real quick.
It's got a folding stock. The stirrup folds and locks into three different positions. It's for packability and storage. This thing is sweet.
Yeah, pretty crazy.
And that thing is dead accurate.
That is really cool. Huh. Yeah. See, there's so many things to learn, man. They got so many new things all the time. And with this whole being such a like an online season, everything's kind of hard to find everything, you know, like, oh, right. I didn't even know that until you said that. That's crazy. That's pretty cool. Yeah, there's just so many cool things, you know, and like that Raven thing is very interesting, because like you just said, one of the things that Raven does is it really brings the compactness, which in return, yes, it is going to shoot an arrow really, really fast. But at the same time, it does kind of eliminate the string, but there's not very many places to get your hand in a string on this one, because everything is like literally so compact. It's crazy.
Right. That thing's tiny, and it's got the limbs are actually, you know, upwards, you know, kind of rotate over the bow instead of being horizontal. You know, they're more, I don't know, vertical type of lineup, it looks like. And it's a neat looking bow.
Yeah, we run into problems in New York because they're so compact that our laws haven't caught up with the technology.
Yeah, that's the other problem. Issue. It's going to keep happening, I think. What about the R18? Did you guys see that one?
I have seen it.
That's like a slingshot.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm looking at it right now. It's literally insane. Like, so small.
But it's like, who's going to make arrows that can hold, or bolts that can hold up to that energy, that stored energy?
Yeah.
It's going to be interesting. I agree with you.
They have to go back to aluminum.
Yeah, right.
Maybe. Steel.
Well, now are you guys bow fishermen?
Sometimes, yeah. But not, about, I wouldn't say a
we
huge
think
amount,
about it quite often.
We always talk about it. We don't do enough of it.
We have, that's the other thing that CenterPoint does is they've got the Typhon bow.
Ah, yeah. I forgot about that.
And, I got Jerry out bow fishing last year, and we filmed, I don't know, we went out three or four times with my wife and Jerry's daughter. And,
it's addicting. I couldn't stop, man. I miss so many fish. I'm like, I gotta keep shooting. I just gotta get one. And then once I started getting my groove on a little bit, started putting some fish in the barrel. But man, what a fun experience.
We tell everybody, like, bow fishing is the great equalizer. Everybody sucks just as much. you all suck equally.
Yeah, we were down in Florida, and we saw a boat that did bow fishing on our last day. Like, damn it.
No, oh, that would have been
saw
fun.
That earlier.
Yeah. Well, they do stingray down there, and down there you can shoot anything.
Wow.
You can shoot anything down in Florida.
Yeah, it sounds like Florida is the place to be lately, to be quite honest.
Yeah.
Yeah. No doubt.
Well, we're fortunate here in New York having the Finger Lakes, so we can get a boat and get down to the Finger Lakes region, and we can hunt all different kinds of bodies of water. And it was a blast. Total blast.
So much fun. We burned up so many bow fishing arrows It's not even funny because a lot of those lakes, a lot of those Finger Lakes are nothing but rocks. And when you just ping, you're pinging the end of your arrows. You're like, oh man. So that, I think the last two trips we went out, I brought a Dremel tool with a grinder on it, just sit there and grind the heads back on it and get them all back up to speed.
That's a good idea. Yeah. That's funny.
Yeah, it's like, you gotta go, man. And then, but the only bad thing is, you know, at our age, because we're old guys, that, you know, you go out at 7 o'clock at night, you're getting home at 7:30, 8 o'clock in the morning.
Wow. Holy cow.
It's a blitz, man. We go all night long.
Is this like a beer thing? Like, you guys having beers while you're doing this? Is it like a lot of fun?
I think we'll have maybe two or three, but it's like, there's so much action.
It's
swap off who's running the camera.
Yeah.
And then, you know, you got people that are just constantly looking over. You're jumping from one platform to another, and then it depends on if we have the big camera or if we've got the small one. The small one's way easier to film with than the big one because, you know, you try to hold a camera for 8 hours, nine hours, you try to hold it up.
I would do a lot of GoPros in that scenario.
We've got the Tacticam underwater cameras now that we've been running too.
That'd work.
So,
The fish cams.
Yep.
I always thought about that actually because we don't know anybody. It's crazy. We don't know anybody with a bow fishing boat. So that's been our only biggest downfall to be able to go, you know,
come to New York.
But I always thought about that. I'm like, how would I film this? And I was like, I'd probably use a ton of GoPros, like an over the top GoPro on a huge stick that booms the whole thing. And then that way I could like not have to do a ton. And like, just, I would just leave them open to where you can hear. And that way you could talk to one camera, you know, and just film it all in 4K. And I think you'd be, but then again, I don't know how it works with the lighting. You guys have a lot of lights. Is this at night? I'm assuming
the boat's lined with lights and it's got lights. Some of the bigger boats have the lights underwater and they shine straight out, you know, because if the boat has lights that are angled down, there's a lot of light refraction at night.
Interesting. So some are underwater, the light.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's cool.
But you're looking at, you know, these guys that travel all over the place and they do
tournament fishing.
All summer.
It's, you know, serious 60, stuff.
70, 80, $90,000 boats. Oh, I'm just like, you know what? I just like to shoot, you know, whatever. And,
we
have one here. Like, oh, you guys are punks.
We have a huge one here. It's called the Great Lakes Bow Fishing Tournament. It's a massive one. It happens up north in Michigan and probably
up in the UP.
No, it's not the UP. It's in, is it Lake Huron?
Is that by Caseville?
Yeah, it's in the thumb of Michigan. But anyway, it's a big deal. And like, there's like people come from everywhere for this thing. And there'll be the AMS fishing boat will be there. All the major boat fishing brands will be there. I think when we were there, we went one time to cover it as like a BHP, not podcast at the time, but just TV or whatever. And there was a lot of people there. I mean, it was hundreds of people. I was like, this is crazy. And then, you know, you weigh in. There's like tons of awards, like the biggest fish, smallest fish, biggest goldfish. And then it's like stuff like the most weight, I think, was the winner.
Overall weight.
Yeah, it was interesting. I thought it looked fun. I just, like I said, even then, I think we had a boat then somehow through some friends. Did you go to that Nopum? I don't think you did. It was just me and Tim.
We got an outfitter here that reached out to us last year, Carnage Outdoors. Great guys. Captain Jamie Linder, and they reached out to us and asked us to come along.
All
right, cool. So, you know, we ended up tipping them. They're like, no, man, we don't want that. You know, it's like, we would love to have you guys on the boat and, you know, kind of do something regular, kind of help us build our business. So it kind of came like they're a sponsor of the show, and they're like, hey man, anytime you guys want to go, just give me a call and I'll clear the schedule. You guys want to come down and you want to have some fun and laughs. You have an open invite from Jerry and I to come down.
Absolutely.
And bowfish.
Have you ever
not like a tournament. This is like, all right, we'll have some beers and we're going to bust a whole bunch of arrows.
Yeah. That's cool. That sounds like a lot of fun.
Have you ever done the Asian carp thing?
Oh, the flying? No.
Yeah. Crazy.
I haven't done that.
Where's that at? Is that like Texas?
Like Illinois? They got like flatbed boats with cages and you got to wear helmets.
Yeah. Catcher's masks.
Got to wear helmets. The face mask like a goalie.
That's a Tim Wells thing. Yeah. He's crazy anyway. But
oh, God. That's hilarious. Oh my God.
No, it's a blast. I mean, bow fishing is just, it's a whole other thing. And then we started learning, like what reels work, what ones don't work. We found like the barrel feed seemed to work the best. You know, you don't have as many hangups and
what heads work and what heads don't work. Yeah. You don't like the two bladed. We like the three or four
prong.
Yeah. Cause sometimes they'll pull right out of the fish when you're trying to drag them into the boat. And,
it's cause sometimes you know, your average carp in the Finger Lakes is probably between 15 and 25 pounds. Right.
Mm-hmm.
But you can get into carp that are like 60 and 70 pounds.
Wow.
And you know, you sit there and like everybody's launching arrows at that thing. And if one person hits, the captain's like, all right, everybody reload. Everyone's got to dump arrows into this thing to try to, you know, then you feel like you're talking to Captain Quint, you know, we need a bigger boat.
Yeah.
and then it's like in New York, you can only shoot three species of carp, the mirror, the common and the grass carp. Those are the only three you can shoot. You can't shoot any other species of
interesting
fish. Which That's is hard. Ridiculous. Oh yeah, because then
you got to be good at your fish identification skills for sure.
Wow, that's tricky. I don't think we have those rules here, but that's interesting.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, because you don't want to shoot a drum. You don't want to shoot with the dogfish.
Yeah, dogfish, sheephead.
Sheephead. Oh god. We've come so close to dumping a sheephead. You get that lull from like midnight to 1:30 in the morning. It's just like, man, the fog's lifting up. You can't see anything. And it's like, oh, there's a carp. You draw back. And all you hear from the back is, no, it's a sheephead. Yeah, let that down.
That's just interesting. Like the whole legal thing is always interesting to me. Cause it's like accidents are going to happen regardless. You know what I mean? Like it's just going to happen at some point. And, you know, I don't know. We haven't had many DNR issues here, but I don't, you know, it could happen though. I mean, they could board you and, you know, be like, what are you doing? Not that you would take it if you made that accident, but.
We actually get more flack from the residents along the shoreline at about 3 o'clock in the morning that live in those $900,000 houses.
Freaks them out. Like, what are you guys doing out there?
No, they're like, you know what I pay in taxes to be here? And it's like, well, you do realize that we're on state water.
You don't own this.
100% legal.
I don't care.
And the sheriffs get called.
Not to
mention, I pay those same taxes, my friend. House
about 15 seconds, and 15 seconds too much for most people. They don't want anybody out there, but
yeah.
No. We do like going past the drunk partiers that are having bonfires at 2:30 in the morning. Yeah, those guys are great.
You guys want a beer?
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
Hold on up.
What are you guys doing? Shooting carp. They're like,
can we come?
Hell yeah.
That's how I would be. Except at my lake in the UP, we have how do you say it? Native Americans who aren't really Native Americans that come and just net the hell out of our lake.
They net it. They net it.
Really?
You mean the Kamado wannabes?
And they look like me, right? They're one, but they can.
Because of their loss.
No, but it's like pike and bluegill and bass. I'm like, what the hell are you even doing with those fish?
Yeah, can you imagine like netting? That's crazy. Netting's like something you do in the ocean.
Absolutely,
you know? Like,
wasteful.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Prime
your river, no boom. Jeez.
I know.
You don't pay enough taxes, damn it.
I guess.
That's the problem. So anyway, so what hunts you guys got planned for this year? What's coming up still that you're going to be recording for?
Well, we're still filming right now our turkey season.
Yep.
So we're still filming turkey hunts. We've got Ohio deer hunts coming up.
Although we were in South Carolina with one of our sponsors, yep. Pete Katowski with U-Slide Bow Holder. We were there back in April. We got him a really nice time in South Carolina. I filmed a hunt for a youth hunter down in Ohio at the Deerassic
Classic. Yeah, yep. Deerassic Youth Hunt.
Yep, and we got a couple of times there, and then we've been hunting here in New York with our youth season and regular season here till the end of May. So
COVID still got things kind of messed up. We were actually supposed to go to Africa in October.
Jeez, holy cow.
Yeah.
To South Africa with Avula Safaris, and COVID just really kind of screwed a lot of things up because we had the Forever Wild Outdoor Safari, and they put together eight packages for us that, you know, we could offer people to join us that had a host of animals and different price ranges that you could go on. And, you know, we'd be landing in Johannesburg, South Africa, and then taking like a 6-hour ride north.
Yeah.
In South Africa. And
we got our bow hunt with Hup Outfitters in Ohio. Yeah. That's an annual bow hunt. We actually do a rut hunt in November, but we've been doing kind of a Doha-palooza bow hunt, like in January or February.
Oh, that's cool.
That's so much fun. I destroyed my camera this year and my MX-16 all in one shot.
You drop it all?
No, I wish I wouldn't have felt as stupid. No, I had deer come in behind me. I was in a big box blind, and there was a big 9 or 10 pointer that they said that was coming in into the field. I was on a 6-acre turnip plot, and I had all these big doe coming in behind me, and I'm texting back and forth with Jeremy Hupp, and he's like, shoot that big girl right there. He goes, shoot that. I was sending him pictures. He's like, you shoot that big one. He goes, we want the does out. I'm like, all right. I said, but I got to, you know, close windows, open windows, turn a tripod around. I'm in a little 5x5 blind, and, you know, I'm trying to get my
tactical.
I'm on my knees. I'm like contorting, and I'm like doing all this stuff. I'm like, you know, I'm 52 years old. I'm like, this is not a natural thing for me to be doing. So I got my camera, and I've got a big 8-inch monitor on top of the camera, and I've got the side viewfinder up because it kind of tells me, it shows me my sound meter and it shows me my light and everything. And the big doe starts stepping over. So I have to kind of adjust, and I take in my elbow and I'm trying to move the tripod a little bit. And she steps out of frame, but the second biggest doe stepped in. I went, bye-bye, touched off on that release. But what I didn't do, because I kept watching the monitor and not the side view monitor, I was watching the big monitor the top of the camera. I didn't pay attention to where my limb was. My limb smashed the small monitor on the camera, my primary monitor. So when I shot, my camera exploded.
Oh, no.
I watched, and the video is fantastic because you just watch this arrow fishtail right towards this doe, and she ducks like 30 feet before it even gets there. They get to watch that lighted knock go. And I went to like 15 minutes after, I'm just like going, that was stupid. Here I got a, you know, $4,000-$5,000 camera that's now a paperweight. You know, I could still look at the big monitor. I look over. And then I got 15 doe coming over the top of the turnip plot. I'm like, oh, great. So I started turning the camera back around. I'm like, oh, well, I don't have a monitor to worry about hitting anymore. So I can, well, you know, I can draw back and shoot. And I'm like going, well, why is my D-loop facing my riser? And I started like looking at it. And I'm like, what the hell is going on here? And I looked up. And I got both of my cams are like this.
Oh,
man, my cams, cables, and everything was derailed. And then I got deer within 11 yards of the blind. And I just kind of sat there, kind of like with my lips stuck out, kind of crying a little bit. Cause I was like, okay, I got like 22 deer around me and I can't do crap about it. So I just blew my camera and my bow up. And I'm like texting Jerry. I'm just like going, I can't believe I just destroyed my bow. You know what his response was? That sucks, dude.
Dude, now, when you do those hunts, do you just bring one bow, or do you bring a backup bow?
This trip, you travel. I brought my MX-16, and I was gonna bring one of the center point bows, but Jeremy Hupp gave me his Raven.
Yeah,
to use cool. as a backup.
It's tough because we're doing a lot of self-filming a lot of times, so we're bringing the camera equipment out and our bow and, you know, backpack or whatever, and it's kind of tough to.
Yeah.
Well, sometimes we'll have a second backup bow in the vehicle if something goes wrong. But
you guys got to let us know the details of the Ohio hunt, because that's pretty good. That's close for us. Maybe we could work it out where we can come the same time or something. It'd be so much fun.
Yeah, actually, that'd we'll be talk so to Jimmy cool.
Huff. Yeah,
that'd be really cool. And we went to Ohio and we hunted.
As good as Michigan deer hunting is, I mean.
Michigan deer hunting.
I guess
it's a blast up here.
Go to Ohio.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, we're a nightmare here. Hup Outfitters is in Meigs County, Southeast Ohio.
Oh,
so we're right along the Ohio River. I think we're three counties from the bottom of the state.
Yeah. Is that by Hocking Hills?
I don't know.
That's down in that region too. Cause I was just there actually for family vacation, but I hunted the Southeast area one time, different outfitter. I went to, I think it was Close Encounter White Outfitters, but I went there and I ended up bringing a backup bow. Cause I thought of that happening to me. I was like, man, something happens, I better just bring a bow, you know, an extra bow. And we don't really use one bow company. So we'll use like I might've brought a Bowtech and a Matthews, right? I always have an extra one. And actually we ended up giving the guide the bow for free, the extra bow as a tip, you know, nice. At the end, cause you're supposed to tip the guys or whatever. So I was like, hey, how you want this bow instead of $200? He's like, yeah. I'm like, here you go. Have a good
one. We've done that before.
He was so pumped. It was hilarious.
I did that on a deer that I lost. This year I hit a bad hit, and the outfitters was like, hey man, it's going to be like $350 cash for this deer dog. New York State, the guys come out with dogs for free.
Oh, to get the dog. Service
that we provide up here. And I was just like, hey man, I got like $20 cash in plastic. And he's like, yeah, I don't take plastic. And I'm like, he goes, but my son does like that crossbow. I'm like, I've never met your son. So he ended up getting my Mercenary 390. he goes, how much is this bow? And I said, it's about $500. He's like, I'm going to give you the credit. He goes, if you ever dump another deer and wound it, he goes, that $150 extra.
You should have said, well, I take credit.
I was a little sad on that trip, man. Yeah. I was kind of like, oh.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right, guys. Well, it's been fun, but we do have to go. But I want to say thanks for coming on. It's been a lot of fun chatting with you guys.
Oh, it's been a blast.
Yeah. We'll link below all the links for people to get to all your socials and stuff, and for them to check you out. So they
get appreciate
it's
it.
A great time. You guys are awesome. So thank you.
Oh,
thank you.
Thank you. Great time.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.